AWR.
Everyone has been created by God, and the job or the lifestyle of the Christian is to be used by God to restore that image. So we don't look at people for who they are, but rather for what they can become in Christ.
This and more on the Maranatha Drive, only on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Hi, Pastor. Can you hear me now? Pastor? Pastor, hi. Can you hear me? Because I could hear you on the other side. I don't know what happened now. Has drawn us near. Pastor, hi. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yay!
I can hear you.
It needed me to play that song, you know, so God can draw us near.
I know you.
Right. Thank you so much, Mfundisi, for holding on and for being patient with us. I apologize for that. So let's get right into the conversation. Pastor, I'm going to ask that as we start, can you please pray for us?
All right, shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, above in heaven, Master of the universe, the Master of faith who builds it, Father, we come before thee in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. We pray that your Holy Spirit be with us in order to illuminate our minds, to understand matters to deal with faith that apply in our lives. We pray for every listener, Almighty King, that you touch their ears to listen adequately and that you also soften their hearts to accept this truth and that they may be comforted. Thank you very much. In the name of our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. So, Mfundisi, we're speaking about all things faith, right? And how do our religious traditions define and prioritize faith?
All right. You see, Zanele, when we talk about matters of faith, faith is actually a belief in a certain supernatural being. You know, it's a belief in a divine power that actually is bigger than you. Believing that there's someone who is on top of you. So it has to deal with you believing into something, you know, and adhering to what it is commanding you to do and following what it actually, you know, needs you to do. That is faith on the general point of view. You know, so we can talk about the Hindus have got faith. So if we just move to Christianity, the Hindus have got faith. You know, even a little boy has got faith in their parent or something.
Yeah.
You know, the Buddhists have got faith, you know, and so many people. And even the Jehovah's Witnesses, they've got their faith. So it has to do with that.
So looking at that, Mfundiswami, us as Christians, right, we believe in the Bible, we study the Bible, that is our foundation, right? So in what ways does the Bible serve as a foundation for Christian faith?
All right, in what way does it serve as a foundation for Christian faith? You see, when we look at the Bible, first of all, I would like to talk about how Christians define faith. And, you know, because we are Christians and we believe in the Bible. And so most of us commonly know the text, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, which says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." You know, Zanelli, already there I have a problem with this text.
Okay.
There's a very big problem in this text because you see, it says the faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means you already have substance of things you're hoping for. You know, it's a substance of things hoped for. The evidence, that's where the problem comes in. The evidence of things not seen, not things seen. Now, when you come to the physical world, you know, physical or scientists, they believe in evidence. When you, we are talking about evidence, when you are taken into court, when you bring an evidence, you are bringing something that has happened before, either a record or an action you saw taking place. You have it in your hand. It already occurred. It's an event occurred, and you are trying to bring it into exposure in order to prove someone wrong, to make everyone see. Now, when it comes to the Bible, I have a big problem because the Bible defines faith as the evidence of things unseen. the evidence of things unseen. So what really this actually helps us just to understand the significance of faith in a Christian's life. So to Christians, we can define faith, you know, as the evidence of things not seen, believing into something even when it hasn't happened, believing as though it has already happened. Because, you know, even when Jesus was healing, he could say, your faith has healed you, because they believed they could be healed only if they just touch his garment.
Mm.
But coming to your question, how does the Bible stands as the foundation for Christian faith? You see, what is making us to believe as Christians, it is the very fact that there are some promises that are attached to us.
Mm.
First of all, when you look at the Bible, you will find that in the Bible, immediately after the fall of man, God came with a promise.
Mm.
God came with a promise. When you look at the whole issue of faith, for they were faithful, they did this, Abraham as the father of faith, you know, the faith comes in because there's a certain promise that God actually gave to these people, and they believe that they can receive that promise.
Mm-hmm.
And so how does the Bible really build our foundation in Christian faith? It is because the Bible itself, it is the word of God. And what is this word of God? This word of God, these are promises of restoration that God has put upon man. Immediately after the fall of man, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we hear God saying, and he shall send someone, he that shall crush the serpent's head. Already there, that's a promise.
Mm.
That's a promise. So what makes us, what builds us as Christians, it is because of we look at the promises God has given us that are found in the Bible. And these are messianic promises. Messianic promises, they are also, you can also term them as messianic prophecies apart from promises, where we are promised Jesus shall come, shall die for us, he shall restore us to life again, and after that there will be a new earth that will be created. And this is what the Bible is all about, proving to talk about this thing, you know, the issue of faith, the issue that there is someone who is to come and he comes and dies. That's the reason why Jesus stands as the significant figure in the Bible.
Mm.
Apart from all the men that we find that Jesus stands as a significant figure because he's the anchor of faith, the beginner and the finisher of our faith.
Mm. So looking at that, Mfundiswami, how do we now reconcile the relationship between faith and good works? Or are they the same thing?
Faith and good works are different, but you discover that you cannot survive without the other.
Mm.
You cannot survive without the other, you know, because this also brings in a big debate of grace, righteousness by faith or righteousness by works.
Mm.
Righteousness by grace is where you believe that you are only saved by faith, faith in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness by works is where you believe you can be saved by what you are doing. And for those who are Adventists, they well believe that in 1888, our General Conference session had a very big debate over the same issue where E.G. Wagner and the friend spearheaded these teachings. But however, the biggest problem that people usually have is that they believe that good works can be separated and faith can be separated without usually knowing that our faith is actually revealed through good works.
Mm.
As Christians, we believe that we are in the great controversy, and this is between good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And already, when you are going... when you are beginning to do what is bad, you have gone away of the faith. Because, you know, when you look at the Bible, Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works.
Mm.
Okay. And then also Titus 2, verse 7 says, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works,
mm.
which means you know, when you accept the faith, I accept the faith. Faith is actually what saves you. It is just a belief into something. Yeah. But you must take that belief into action. And that's the reason why the Bible says faith without works is nothing. Mm. Because when you believe into something, it manifests over what you are doing. And these deeds are called the good works. Mm. Can I give an example?
Yes, please.
When you accept Jesus Christ, after you have accepted Jesus Christ, now he tells you, oh, now that you have accepted me, Zanella, that you have accepted me now, I am the boss in your life. He gives you a manuscript of what you have to follow, what you have to do, and what you're not supposed to do. And he gives you the Holy Spirit to lead you into those good works. And that's the reason why, you know, the Bible says you shall know them by their fruits, you know, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. And apart from that, you know, Galatians gives us the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, those are actually good works. You need to be kind. You have to be patient. All those are good works. You know, so good works cannot be separated from faith. But however, they can't also stand alone. Because there's no one good, Zanele. There's no one good. Even when you want to believe in Jesus Christ, it is by his grace that you believe in him. You know, when Christ sees you, the faith that you have, he then evaluates it. Okay, this person has this belief in me, but it is not enough to save them. They need to keep on doing what they need to follow my works. They have to do. They have to tread over where I treaded, and so he begins to give them the Holy Spirit that influences them to do good works, so that people can see Jesus Christ in them, because they are no longer them. They have subscribed to a certain faith, and so they must behave like the owner of that faith, which is manifested into good works. Yes.
So as we, I know that, you know, we're supposed to speak more about it, but because of time, and we are doing the 10 days of prayer at 11:30. But before I let you go, Mfundiswami, you know, how do now, as Christians, do we approach and embrace mysteries of faith, such as, for example, the nature of God, you know, the divine providence? Because we're always asking ourselves, like, how is God? You know, the nature of God is a problem, Mfundiswami, or the Holy Spirit is a challenge in the Christian communities, you know. So how then do we approach such?
All right, thank you very much. In just a snapshot, I can say, you know, the nature of God is something very, very hard to understand, because when you look at God, you discover that God is actually defined by his works. You know, he's defined by his works. Some people say he's an adjective God. You only define God by adjectives. He's the Holy God. He's the most powerful God. But however, when you look at the nature of God, there are two things that stand significant to understand it. And that is the transcendency of God and the immanence of God. By transcendency, we mean he is a God who is not part of nature. You know, he's not like us. He's not affected. When there's an earthquake, God is not affected. That, no, he has nowhere to sleep. No. He's not like that. You know, he's all-powerful. He owns the whole universe. He's not part of nature. You know, and he's not limited within time. That's the transcendence of God. He's not limited within time. So, and then apart from that, he's an immanent God, a God Emmanuel with us, a God who is ever present with us, to be with us. You know, so when we're looking at the nature of God, I think these are two things that can help us to understand the nature of God fully. The transcendence of God, where we believe he's not part of nature, he's not affected by what is created, he's not like the created beings. He's not like Satan, who was created, and others. And apart from that, he's in control of the whole world, and he's also ever present with us. Now, it is a difficult thing to not be part of nature, but you are also immanent. But however, we find this is the same attribute of God. He's not part of nature. He's somewhere else far, but also he claims to be immanent, where he is with us, omnipresent. So that's the nature of God. Now, before I wrap it up, I would like to also conclude in just a snapshot. You know, you see, this faith helps us grow spiritually in different ways. You know, when we look at the matters of faith, some people don't really understand them. But you see, Sister White says matters, you know, even if Christianity or maybe issues of faith were a fallacy, they were not true, biblical principles would still stand to prove man into existence. Which means faith has a sense of keeping us into existence. wrong faith, I'll still follow it because it has made me stand life up to today.
Yeah. The whole week we are together, so I think we're going to be exploring more in terms of what this faith is. But today we're going to be having to wrap it up there, even though the network and the technical challenges, they dribbled us in the beginning. But thank you so much, Mfundisi, for coming through. Tomorrow we're going to be looking at another topic that is related to faith. But today, have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you very much. God bless.
Amen.
Tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media, and you know what we're going to be doing, right? As I prepare for that song. So please do send us your song request on +27 734 703 520. That number again is +27 734 703 520. Let us come through and pray. It is our time now to go and pray. So let us get ready for that one.